Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeCompte and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world.
All right, welcome back to the Simple Church Podcast, Keep It Simple. And today we're going to continue our discussion with two special people to us, my wife Carla.
And my wife Bonnie.
Glad to be back and have more conversation.
Yes.
Why don't we start out by talking about what are just some very practical tips that you all might could give other women out there who are saying, hey, I'm going to start doing this, and I just don't know what to make. I don't know how to get ready, how to prepare, what kind of meals we can make. Is the meal even important? What are some just practical tips that you all could give to a woman out there who's thinking about hosting a simple church gathering?
Or guy.
Well, I think the key is in the name of your podcast, you know, Keep It Simple. It doesn't have to, if we make the meal complicated or having people overcomplicated, then it's already a barrier that we don't want to do this. We don't want to keep it up for a long period of time if we make it more complicated and difficult than it needs to be. So keeping that in mind, that the house doesn't have to be perfect. I really liked what you said, Carla, that women, almost we live in this Pinterest world, and we feel like we have to be on Pinterest all the time, or people are going to be rating us as a, you know, is she really a Proverbs 31 woman, or how well she take care of her kids in her house?
And what do you mean a Pinterest woman?
A Proverbs 31 woman, that to have your house look perfect all the time.
Pinterest.
Pinterest. The women will know
social
what I'm talking
media.
About.
You gotta get in.
I'm on Pinterest.
Oh, you're on Pinterest. Yeah. Okay. I'll follow you. You got some new drapes you'd like to post on there or something?
Oh, I've got this fantastic, you know, wood trim. You should follow it.
With Bonnie mentioned our last conversation too about the potato bar. That's a great example of a simple meal. We've done that one before. And then for breakfast, we haven't personally done it. Well, of course, I think someone brought cereal to skate church one time, but I know one group that had lots of little children did a cereal, a cold cereal night where everyone brought their favorite breakfast cereal or fun cereal, and they just had cereal, which can seem kind of silly, but I think it was a lot of fun. I think soups are a great simple option, and then if a couple people are willing to make soup, or as a host you're willing to make a big pot of soup, and then other people can bring cornbread or biscuits to go with it, a fruit salad, and I think people bringing something is always a big help, especially to the, if someone's willing to host, I think if other people can bring the food, you know, that makes it less on the person hosting. We experienced that too. We had, everyone always was so gracious and having it in our home to bring food. And I just sort of made one dish and then everyone chipped in. And I know one thing that was helpful, we didn't have table space for everybody. When someone else was hosting one time, I had a great idea of bringing out the chargers that you can use to make your place settings look extra fancy, but they're also a great little tray for people to hold their food on. So after that was done one time, we always put out the charger, so that people could use that to balance their food better if they had to sit on the couch or a chair to eat. We let, in our meals, we would let the parents with young children kind of help the children get situated first, and I know some other people may prefer to do that, you know, toward the end, but it always worked out well for us to help the children get situated, and then adults followed. That's a practical meal thing. Sometimes we would use paper products. Sometimes if it was smaller, we would use our own place settings. Permanent marker on glass wipes right off. So if you have the same kind of drinking glass, that can be an easy way, is just to let people write on the glass itself and just wipe it off. If you don't want to use consumable products like plastic or styrofoam cups, we definitely, you know, kind of get into a rhythm with hosting people and kind of learn as you go about your home, you know, what will... One funny thing, we had to, our vent hood sticks out farther than our stove. And sadly, one of the things we learned our first couple of gatherings, when people would, our garbage cans right underneath, when they lean over to put something in the garbage can, they'd hit their head. And so we had to tape a deflated balloon on the end of the vent hood so we all would watch their head. So, you know, there's things like that. You know, learning to kind of have, you know, kind of put up some of the toys in the children's space so that it doesn't become a huge cleanup afterwards, so that the children have places that don't get so messy they can't play. Another thing that we would try to do, just the, you know, 10 minutes before people were invited to come, was just to sit together and just to have a moment to pray. And in the busyness of a morning of hosting, you can sometimes forget why you're doing it. And so just a time to take a breath and remember that it is a privilege to have people come and that we're gathering to be with Jesus ultimately, not to showcase our home or not to to make a gourmet meal, but we're offering a space in which he will come and we will come together in that special way that does happen when believers gather. And Gavin would initiate that and remind us to do that. That was always, that's always been helpful.
We can do better at that, but I think the idea of, you know, I've said a lot before, we bring some physical food to share and some spiritual food to share, and hopefully we can do better about this, even as I'm talking about it, just even encouraging the kids with that before people come, but also during the week, that be thinking, what is the spiritual food that you're going to share with people? What encourage? What way will God use you to encourage people today? And I know one time we've even tried little things where we say, "Let's see all the one different one another's that you can do with folks today." And then when we're done, we'll maybe talk about and see if we can guess and see which one of the one another's you were able to do, or you know, and just going a little lesson on the one another's in the scripture. But so what about you, any others?
Well, you were just sparking some ideas too, that it really helps our church also, that if it's going to be at my house, then all the other ladies will bring the food. All the other families will cook a little something to, so all I have to do is just worry about opening up the house. It does help, like even when I had little kids, that they all had a little something to do, a little job to do to get ready for church for that morning. Like one might, you know, just take out the garbage or sweep the floor. And really, a lot of times, I mean, other than putting away the main clutter to make some room for people, we really didn't even go into cleaning that much, because we figure, well, after we have 30 people in my house, it's going to be dirty. So, and no one's going to even be able to notice the dust bunnies in the corner because there'll be so many people in the house. So those types of things don't really matter. And we shouldn't have to worry about, oh, my house being perfectly spotless.
Don't let her fool you, folks. She used to clean like a mad woman.
Well, that's just because I needed it anyway for us with the dirty boys in the house and all. But
we didn't have dust bunnies for church. No way. Because I was the one who swept them.
It's a girl's time to talk, okay? So, and yes, I know that it helps having a schedule, like to know ahead of time where we're going to be for that even semester. So the ladies that are really good at planning, they'll make up a calendar, and everybody writes their name on a couple of the Sundays for that semester and spreads it out on what house will be. And it's even kind of gotten to be a joke that in our house church, new people are always welcome if you can find us, because we're never at the same place. But we'll share going around to different people's homes, and that way each person will have the home in a different or have the meeting in their home. And then all the different ladies get to contribute bringing the food. It also helps as far as the music's going, like what are we going to do for music? we always have, well, whoever's, you open up your home, if it's going to be in your home, you'll also prepare something for the music. Mm-hmm. And some people are very musical. I mean, the music majors are, have their doctorate degrees in music, and mm-hmm. they'll play their pianos or lead hymns. And sometimes for the younger people, Tom has... He's very musical when it comes to PowerPoint and finding music online, mm-hmm. and he'll make more of a PowerPoint for the
music set,
a playlist that we'll sing and have the words on the television, mm-hmm. Going through like that. Some other friends, they didn't even have a television, so they would just play some music on a CD player,
mm-hmm.
and we'd sing along to that, or just even a cappella.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever's easy for your group,
mm-hmm.
and it's always nice because there's always variety,
right.
and that's something that's really refreshing, mm-hmm. and fun to see. Mm-hmm. Even the teenagers are going to play music again this week,
mm-hmm.
or we're going to have new songs to learn, contemporary
mm-hmm.
songs to learn from the PowerPoint this week, and
mm-hmm.
It's just always something fun and different.
Mm-hmm.
Which adds variety and it doesn't get stale.
Which, you know, going along with that variety, I know one of the things that I've been insecure about in opening my home is the size of my home. And even having temptations of thinking, well, we're going to be having people, we need to get a bigger house. And Gavin was always so good to remind me that, you know, we are setting an example, and if we only meet in homes that are a larger size, then we are saying to people that if your house isn't of a certain square footage, then you can't do this.
Right.
And
or if it's not clean, or if it's not,
yeah, if it doesn't have a basement, or if it doesn't
mm-hmm.
have this or that, then it just can't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's something that's helped me, is to realize that, you know, by whatever, you know, I know that there's all sorts of things we can be insecure about
mm-hmm.
in our living space and inviting people into it, but
mm-hmm.
to see that it might be just that thing
mm-hmm.
that will encourage another person to say, well, look, this isn't huge, but it's working, or,
right.
you know, I don't even notice that there's not a place at the table for everybody, or that it can be an encouragement and help a person take a step of faith in
mm-hmm.
in their own life. So I think that helped me too, to know sometimes the places that I felt weak
mm-hmm.
were the places where God can then be strong.
Yeah, it's really good you say that. We were just talking about the internationals, and what
mm-hmm.
Since we work with internationals, one of our goals is we want to model a church that they could do back in their home countries when they leave. So if they go back to a country where they don't have a large building, or they
mm-hmm.
don't have a lot of funds, they don't have to buy a sound system, they don't have to buy PowerPoints, you know, would they be able, from looking at what we're doing here, to take Jesus back and
mm-hmm.
reproduce a first century style church again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do we really need to have church?
Mm-hmm.
And we were laughing about one of the times we were in Kenya, that the people would go up to the pulpit and they'd take a clip-on tie and put the clip-on tie on their shirt, and then would begin to give their testimony. And when they're finished with the testimony, they take the clip-on tie off, and the next person would come up in front of the church, the pulpit, and put the tie on, and then begin to speak and give a testimony what God had done that week. And we're like, what are we really teaching our kids or non-believers about what is needed in a church? And so... we're thinking about those type of things, you're absolutely right, that when I think about my church is really small, but if we have Chinese people that come to our church and they go back home, how are they going to start a church there?
Mm-hmm.
Have we given them the tools and necessities
mm-hmm.
to start a church there?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they couldn't have a big building or something.
And
then
a follow-up question is, what are we giving them that they don't need, like the clip-on tie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm really encouraged to hear you, both of y'all, talking about that, because I think it changes even your perspective on showing hospitality and hosting Simple Church if you go into it and thinking that my job is not just to host a Simple Church meeting, but it is to train these other people, whether they be women or men, how to host a Simple Church meeting. They're going to follow our example. And if you set that bar so high that it's not attainable by anyone else, then you have kind of squashed the reproduction aspect. And we've seen that. I mean, we've seen we've seen groups meet in very large homes, and just it was a very subtle thing, but all of a sudden you start to realize, well, no one else really is willing to host. Why is that? Well, they're embarrassed, you know. And so I've actually encouraged people when starting a simple church, if there's four or five families, you know, start in the home that, you know, is the smallest home, you know, just so you can learn that it's not about space, it's not about the building size, that it's about coming together as a family and meeting with Jesus. And you can do that in a closet, mm-hmm. you know, if you have to.
That's what they do in China.
Yeah, so that's really encouraging. I would love to hear, and I know our time is short, but I would love to hear before we go today, maybe just a testimony, a story about how you have seen, because of simple church ideas, because of the organic church concepts of meeting in the way that we've been talking about, you've seen God really be able to touch another person's life, maybe a lady that God's brought into your life through simple church, or just through mentorship and is now involved in simple church, and you've seen God up close firsthand really change that person's life. Maybe you could share a story with that. Mm-hmm. Carla, do you want to start?
Mm-hmm, sure. Well, like I have said, I'm grateful to see God changing my life through the men and women who've decided to commit to being a family together. And so I'm humbled by that. And I'm humbled to see people's willingness. I mean, this is something, you know, our simple church groups are something that, you know, God kind of called us into, and Gavin's initiated many of the ideas. So I'm just amazed to see how people are willing to listen to God, and it's sort of part of our vocation, I guess, and to see people who have other demands of their time and attention make a commitment and decision to come and gather. And so I'm just amazed by that in and of itself, that people come, you know, that we gather in the midst of other responsibilities. And I think of a mom who, it's just so hard to pick one story, but I think of a mom who brings her children to skate church, and I've been amazed to see God at work in her life, in being willing just to seek God and being in a situation where she's just been so honest about not really knowing about the Bible and not really knowing a lot about Jesus in particular, and being willing to come with questions and things in her life and relationships in which she'll ask for prayer. And I just know that kind of authenticity and honesty about life is, it doesn't just happen. I mean, that comes from a heart of willingness to really be known by people and to know and to get to know people and get to know God. And so I think of I just think about her and the fact that we're in a simple church environment. I just feel like it's been just the perfect place to get to know a woman like her. Whereas, you know, if I think about her coming with those desires to know more about Jesus, to find support in her life journey, and prayerfully it wouldn't happen, but that she wouldn't find a point of connection, or, mm-hmm. but it's just been such a amazing blessing for me, mm-hmm. to get to know her and get to enjoy a relationship with her. And we do, you know, right now, just see each other the once a week. But hopefully, I know she desires more, and I do too, that we can see our friendship grow. And but God is definitely at work in her life. Such an honest, open life of seeking Him. It's evident that He's the initiator of that.
Cool.
Yeah, I can think of a couple of times too, but I think it kind of echoes what Carla is saying, that being connected with a community where first time you go to a place, you're welcomed, and the other women gather around this new woman, and women, we want to feel that community, that relational connection really quickly. And I think it happens really easy in a simple church, in a homey environment. Since we work with international students, we had a student come from a European country, a post-Christian country, and who had never thought about going into a church, and she never would have visited a traditional church. But when she, we have families from our church come, and they provide the meal one night a week at the university. And this student began to meet some of the families and play with their kids and saw the good marriages, and decided that they would, this student decided that she would like to start coming to our church. And coming to the house church, she saw families who were committed to each other. And she grew up without a family and had never had a loving father figure. And when she saw how these godly men treated their wives and treated their children, this is what started drawing her to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she said she wanted Jesus like this. She wanted a God like this that taught these things. But she said she never would have found out who God was if it hadn't been for the house church, because she didn't think she would ever have gone into a traditional mm-hmm. church building. But she was open to coming into somebody's home and just hearing these godly guys lead the teaching each week, and the wives sitting there supporting each other and showing grace and doing the one another's daily to each mm-hmm. other, helping each other out. So that's just one example I can think of where the house church really made it was a good example mm-hmm. and made a difference in someone's life who normally wouldn't go to an institutional church setting.
Who are some of the ladies or that maybe that God's put in your life that have been an encouragement to you all on the simple church path?
We want names.
You mean in addition to in addition to the people, like,
yeah, I'm
you
sorry.
You mean like on in sort of that are authors or
yeah.
writers?
Yeah, mm-hmm. perhaps or mentors. Yeah, or that people that
yeah,
have been an encouragement to you. Is there any websites mm-hmm. or blogs or books mm-hmm. or things that come to mind?
Yes, of course. I think of Felicity Dale right away. Felicity and Tony Dale came from England several years ago and have a ministry to people involved with Simple Church. And so her can look house to house online, or her website, simplychurch.com. Yeah, simplychurch.com is her blog, and I enjoy reading those. They're short, which enables me to enjoy them and them not pile up in my inbox and my email. She always asks thought-provoking questions at the end. It's a her style of writing is engaging. It's meant, I think, more to help the thinking process as much as transmitting information. So I really enjoy her leadership. And the other, just personally, I really benefited a lot from Ann Boskamp's ministry, and her website is aholyexperience.com. And she, I think, is especially gifted to minister to women. And she is a homeschooling mom and blogger. So I think a lot of our life experiences are similar right now, but she has written a book called 1,000 Gifts about how in God's kingdom thankfulness comes before joy. And she talks a lot about receiving all God's gifts in your day with thanks, and how that leads to being able to see Him more clearly and to be filled with the joy that He wants to give believers. And so I think of those two women. Their ministries have blessed me a lot. Ann Voskamp and Felicity Dale.
I think the first time I ever heard about House Church was from Carol Davis. Mm-hmm. And she was a speaker of the Perspectives on the World Christian Movement class that's been in many cities across the country. And Carol Davis was talking about multiplication of churches. And since Tom and I had been on the mission field and worked with internationals, we were really interested in some of the ideas about having churches that were culturally applicable or useful to different people around the world, and what are we giving people? Are we giving them the gospel, or are we giving them our culture? Mm-hmm. And I liked how she talked about boiling the church down to the essentials. And one of the things she also talked about was either producing elephant churches or rabbit churches, and how it takes a lot of finances and resources and long time for an elephant. The gestational period is like what?
Two years.
For one elephant to birth one more elephant. But then Carol Davis was talking about rabbits, and they require very little care and very little resources, and they multiply like crazy. And that was an easier model to maintain for people around the world. And she started talking about China and how rabbit churches are reproduced so quickly there. And there's so many Christians in China, and millions, and they're all in these little underground house churches. So that just really started making a mark with us, and us thinking that this is becoming a post-Christian nation. America is, and people are seeking community, and people, they're still seeking relationships. They miss that in America. So we were wondering if this could, God could use us in this plan somehow. And we just said, here we are, God. If this is where you want us to be, we're here. Mm-hmm. Show us how to do it, because we don't know how to do it in America, but show us what you want us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So. Well, I can't thank you all enough for coming in and taking time to share. And I tell you what I like to do, Tom, because it was brought up, Carla had mentioned Tony and Felicity's mm-hmm. ministry, and they actually authored the book, The Rabbit and the Elephant, which is probably where somebody,
yeah.
I don't know if maybe they got that idea from her or her from the Bedales, I don't know. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to give a copy of that book away. That's probably been my favorite book, and it's been republished under the title Small is Big, but it's essentially the same book. The hardcover is called The Rabbit and the Elephant by Tony and Felicity Dale with George Barna, and I'd like to give that book away. I'll mail it to you free of charge. The first person that emails me at gavindurson@gmail.com. That's GAVINDURSON @gmail.com. Shoot me an email, the first one that I get. And again, we're not sure that anyone's actually listening to this, so if you're listening to this and it's been a month, go ahead and email. You might be the first person. So I'd love to send that copy of that book to you. But thank you all for joining us. Tom, any last thoughts of wisdom?
No, I just want to say that whenever I have a tough question about church, I always ask my wife, don't you?
Yeah, and I can't thank Carla enough, and I'm sure you'd say the same. And this whole crazy journey we're on, I mean, I don't know that it would have ever been possible were it not for Carla, and at least in my life, just in her willingness to go on an adventure and try something different and be stretched. And I can't thank her enough. So thank you, Carla. And
thank you, Bonnie.
Yeah. That's a wrap.
Great show. Thanks.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.